My name is Sister Fa and I come from Senegal. I'm a rapper. As an activist and survivor of female genital mutilation, to come to really share my experience, to say to people what we have been doing.
Hi, this is Karin Weiss and welcome to the Medicus Mundi Switzerland Health for All podcast. And today we talk with Fatou Mandiang Diatta, well known under the name Fatou, who is a rapper and artist fighting against female genital cutting in Senegal and Europe. Hi Fatou, it's a great pleasure for me having you on this podcast, Health for All.
Hi dear Karin, it is my pleasure to be here with you.
Fatou, you are from Senegal and you live in Berlin. What is the most challenging part of living in Germany as a Senegalese woman?
I think the first problem was like the language, because we are like a French old colony. And then for us to learn German, English at the same time was very difficult, because some people might think that when you don't speak a good German, probably you are not intelligent because you cannot express yourself and everything you have in your head. And it was quite very complicated for me when I tried to express myself and having like a red line, because it was very complicated to express myself the way I was doing in French. I think this was like the biggest challenge for me when I arrived in Germany.
Fatou, as a child, you experienced a deep trauma as you experienced female genital cutting, and you are very open about it and you talk about it. Have you healed this trauma?
You know, where I come from in Casamance, it's like between Senegal and Guinea-Conakry, Guinea-Bissau and Gambia. We have a big domination from an ethnic group called the Mandinka. And the Mandinka have brought female genital cutting in our community, the Diola. And then in this package, they put some kind of like Islamic stories to really make female genital cutting as something religious. And then for sure, where I come from, it is like a norm. If you are not cut, you are not a part of your community. Your generation might not do things with you. You will not greet with your hand elders. You cannot participate in the ceremony and dance in your village. There is some kind of like places where you cannot walk through because they consider you still have your clitoris. And yes, this is how I grew up, considering that it was something normal.
Today, you work primarily with female elders and youth in rural Casamance region in Senegal. And you have found innovative ways to connect anti-female genital cutting activism with enhancing young people's access to sexual rights and health services. What are these innovative ways?
We have a kind of like a initiation ritual called Gasus. And then this initiation exists in countries like Gambia, Senegal, in Kenya, in Mali, but in a different name. And then this ceremony is not forbidden. Thousands of people, even if you live in Canada, when this initiation ceremony came, you have to be there to answer, to honor your family. It was the question from the elders, how can we continue to do our tradition without female genital cutting? Because if you are not cut, you are not allowed to enter in that sacred bush to do the initiation. And then after my analyze, I just discovered that those elders are not like against the change, but they are afraid because they have some question without answer. And the question from those elders was not asking, because most of the project was not including them in the process. They were seen as like enemies, the one who like practicing something that is forbidden. Last year, in one village after mine, the village name is Moulomb, this ceremony happened. And I said to myself, I need to go and see myself what's going on. It's amazing, full of colors. You can see that the girls are just ready for a challenge, that they are proud. They want to make their families proud, you see? And everyone is there. And woman was like behaving like more than a man. Because in the Djola community, we are not in 100% a patriarchal community. Women have power in some point, in some ceremonies and issue, women are stronger than men. Then I say to myself, a zebra without those streifen, as the German people say, is not a zebra, it is like a donkey. Then each community, each population need traditions. And I say to myself, I think I definitely have to check out about those alternative rites to replace female genital cutting, which is harmful and forbidden traditions. Then all girls who are born in America, in Germany, when the time of the initiation will come, we can bring our girls together and allow them to participate in tradition, beautiful tradition that belong to our community that we have to preserve because it's a kind of like patrimony.
And how did you address the anxieties or the fears which were expressed by the elders?
From the beginning, they was making songs and insulting me. This is how our communities behave. In this ceremony, each new initiated have a song. And this song will just like describe the kind of person you are. You are brave, you work, you respect your parent, and so on and so on. If you're like a stubborn girl like me, and your song will be very strange. And those elders women did not understand the way I was dealing with the project. I started to work with the Minister of Education. We was allowed to work in school, creating clubs, and we work with the hospital, adopting newborn babies, the girls specifically to fight against childbirth excision. It's a new form of cutting that the woman did very early. And then we work with the religious people, and the elders was hearing that I'm doing things in the village, but still they was not involved. And this was a kind of like frustration they started to develop, very annoyed, and just like seeing me as an enemy. And the last year of the project, I started with a very little group visiting those elders. I call them gardien de la tradition. And I explained them, we have a possibility to stop what is forbidden and create something new. Then no one will have problem with justice. And they told me openly, this is interesting. Do you know some communities doing this? And for sure, at that time, I did not have too much answers. I told them, I will get to you back. And then I give a call to some partners from Mali. It's an organization working also with Yamanes, Switzerland. I invite a group of also leaders, women from Mali. They come to Senegal. We first have like 5 days working in Dakar, and then we go back to Casamance. And from there, we invited 30 elders, but we have, Karim, 68. Just to show you, they have questions. They are also looking for answer. And then during this meeting of 2 days, we worked together, we proposed different way of doing it. And it was amazing how they were happy. And then now we are really friends, no more enemies.
She said in an interview, I talk about sensitive subjects, but I make sure people enjoy themselves at the same time. How do you manage to talk about deeply rooted taboos around sexuality and female genital cutting and being able to influence women, men, elderly or religious leaders to review and reflect on their behavior?
I use a very, very strong, lovely, powerful instrument, which is music. Through music, you can talk about very sensitive topic, and people will listen to the melody, they will listen to your voice, they will listen to what is beautiful in the information you're giving, and they will get the information. I started with music, singing about FGM with a guitar, singing about my own story. I invite sometime in the school, young girls and boys, drawing in calabash about this trauma. I have learned that when children draw, they express themselves. They express this trauma that they have been carrying many years ago. And then I think art was like the best way for me to talk about those very difficult issues. And then in the same time, I had the luck that I speak the local languages. I have been cut and I know what I'm talking about. And then respect was like the basic of all my work. I show a lot of respect, a lot of empathy, because I'm very sure that most of them don't know what they are doing. You know, in Germany, I work with the Senat Verwaltung, Terre des Femmes, and Waldfriedklinikum. We have like a project called the Koordinierungsstelle. I usually make the Fachkräfte training. And then there, sometimes I ask them an exercise to draw a penis. I give them 1 minute. They all do. But when I give them the same time and ask them to draw a clitoris, let me tell you that 80% don't know this organ. Because it is inside, and we women, we don't struggle to know what it is. And then I say to myself, then for sure, those women performing FGM who did not have even the chance to go at school, they don't know the damage they are doing. And then I use a lot of empathy, explaining them, showing them images between us, women. And then, yes, then now they start really understanding. But also something very important, that I started with the project, which was training. We train them in like leadership and development personnel. We train them to know about FGM and the consequences. We train them about early marriage and early pregnancy, how it's not good at all for our girls, that we should give them the same chance as our boys. We talk about health, and I support a lot the communities and the hospital. I think this is what gives more charm to the work we are doing, and also the result we have got today.
Worldwide, we can observe that sexual health and rights are under pressure. More and more resistance and challenges are rising, such as opposition against abortion, violence against homosexuality, opposition against comprehensive sexuality education. What's the situation in Senegal today?
In Senegal, we are anyhow a very conservative country. In the past, in each family, you can see a man behaving like a woman behaving like a man, and there was like a tolerance. But since some couple of years, this tolerance is have a tendency of disappearing. Then people start talking about things that you don't know you yourself. And then for sure, at some point, I remember once I was on TV live, and one man just interrupt me and asking me like, "Oh, Sister Fa, it's really interesting. I have been following you since you was very young with your music. You're doing great things. But I'm asking myself, where you living in Europe? Are you fighting against homosexuality and also the way that white people are bringing their parents in like those houses for old people, not taking care of them and so on? Are you trying to do this also with them, not only disturbing us with our traditions?" It's just to let you know that I have been assimilating to those black white women who came to Africa to just teach people. This is what I never did. For me, women rights are human rights, child rights are human rights, and human rights is like something we all have to respect. As I said, Senegal actually is not easy at all. We have a very conservative society, and now it's getting worse. I don't know why, but yes, it is like a reality.
Today we can say anti-sexual reproductive health movements are worldwide well recognized and very strategic when it comes to fighting against comprehensive sexuality education or abortion. Do you observe a similar trend in your country?
Yes, sometimes I can definitely say yes, but you know, abortion is still forbidden in Senegal. If someone even have got like incest, if it's the pregnancy from a member of the family, the woman really needs a very short time to really prove if she have, of course, materially the proof that this pregnancy come from my brother, from my father, or this pregnancy represent a danger for my life. If there is no reason, the woman is not allowed to make abortion in Senegal. Also, we still have like very old legislation that need update. For example, with 16 years old, a girl is allowed to get married. It's still in our constitution. And in the same constitution, it's also signed that to be adult, you need to be 18. Then Senegal have signed the Convention of Geneva for Child Protection. And the children are still not protected here in Senegal.
There's a lot of contradiction.
Sure. Yes, my dear. They sign everything just to have nice faces.
In your opinion, what is or how could a solution look like that enhance sexual rights and lift the taboos around sexuality?
I think training and education. Actually, it is so funny. I have like 3 hectares. It's like a huge ground close to the mangrove. And then it's not like very far away from the habitation. I'm building a center where women who undergo violence, domestic violence, can have a space where they can stay. I think we need to give space to those group of individuals who have like, how can I call it, who like in risico, who are like vulnerable. Those kind of group of people that people don't accept at all. I think education and we give them the space is very important. At the same time, in a parallel way, to educate also those one who have no empathy, who don't try to accept the other the way they are, I think they need also education.
If you had a wish to make this world a better place, what would it be?
A world with a lot of empathy, where everyone will look at the other person, feeling their pain, feeling their scare, and just wishing the others the way they wish themselves to be like happy, to have like a joy for their lives. I think if we all are happy inside of us, I think we can be happy with the others and for the others. I think this is like my best wish, to see a world where everyone will just like smile. When I will see little girl happy, no boys on the street begging for adult people.
Thanks so much for these lovely words and being my guest on the podcast Health for All. This was the Medicus Mundi Switzerland Health for All podcast with Karin Weiss. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on our website. To spread the message, please leave a comment on our website, share and like it. This was the first episode of the new season on the fight against the growing movement of anti-choice, anti-SRHR and anti-gender movements. Stay tuned and watch out for the next episode.